without your help, he will not last.
Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus, he did not come, and they wondered why.
The death watch was over, buried 4 days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here, the Lord's on his way.
Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him, he'd still be alive.
But you're 4 days late, and all hope. Stone was rolled back, then Jesus cried, Lazarus come forth, then somebody said, he's alive, he's alive. You may be fighting a battle of fear, you cry to the Lord, I need you now, but he hath not appeared. Don't be discouraged.
That was good. Amen. All right, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts and chapter 27. The book of Acts and chapter 27. And then I'll begin reading here in the book of Acts and chapter 27. I'll begin reading verse number 40, Acts chapter 27 and verse 40. It's been a blessing to be here these few days and being in the golf outing and then preaching this morning and tonight. I certainly do appreciate it and consider it a great honor and a privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit and to preach to you folks in this wonderful, wonderful church that God is using here in this community and around the world. And I thank the Lord for Brother Angel and how God continues to use him and his family, his ministry, and appreciate it so very much. Pray for me. I'll head back home tomorrow. I'll be home for 5 days, and then Saturday I'll drive down to Clinton, Iowa. I'll be preaching there for a couple of days, and then I head over to Elgin. I'll be in the camp meeting conference there for a few days, and then Wednesday I'll drive down to Manchester or somewhere there in the St. Louis area, and I'll be preaching at the Lafayette Bible Baptist Church, Baldwin, I believe it's the town there. And I'll be preaching there for Brother Bragg. And I've been preaching in his church since 1988. And the Lord has blessed that church and appreciate that ministry. I'll be there. I've been preaching there since probably Mike was just a little tyke. Amen. And he used to run around snotty nose and eating his boogers and all things like that. And so... but his brother beating up on him, his sister beating up on him, and Praise the Lord. But anyways, be there. And it's a blessing, you know, to see these kids grow up and now serving the Lord. And I appreciate Brother Mike and his ministry and how God's using him and his brother and his sister. So I'll be there and for a few days, and then I'll be back home. And then I head down to Carterville, Illinois. I'll be preaching there in that church. I've been preaching in that church since 1988. And I'll be there for a revival meeting there. And then I'll be over in Moline, Illinois, preaching over for Rick Bevins for about a week. And then I'll be home for a little bit. And then I'll be preaching somewhere, I don't know. I can't remember. That's as far as I can remember, amen. Just off the top of my head, remember that. But praise the Lord. And God is good in keeping us on the road, keeping us healthy, and preaching the gospel. And America needs revival. And we need revival in our country. Something desperate has to happen in our country. Something has to happen in the lives of God's people. And we become so comatose. And we need God to wake us up, do something supernatural in our lives. I believe America's ripe for revival right now. And the people are thirsty for something. And we're not going to see America come back to God until God's people get right with the Lord. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And so we need to pray that God will do something in our lives and then use us in a great and mighty way to reach people with the gospel. But here in this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice in Acts chapter 27, and then I'll begin reading verse number 40. Paul, he's on his fourth evangelistic crusade, headed to Rome to preach the gospel. God impressed it upon his heart back in Acts chapter 19 to go to Rome. He had heard about some of the persecution and some of the Jews, Christian Jews that had been exiled from that place, and ran into Aquila and Priscilla and heard about those things. Then God impressed upon his heart to go to Rome in the midst of all of that tribulation and turmoil, to go there and to be a help and a blessing, preach the gospel. And one thing about the Apostle Paul, he had a determination to do God's will. And nothing was going to stop him. None of these things move me. Now, that was the theme of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. God used him, went through so many different types of trials, tribulations, and wrote 14 books of the New Testament, went on these four different types of people refer to them as missionary journeys. I like to refer to them as evangelistic crusade. The word missionary doesn't appear in the Bible, but the word evangelist does. And so evangelistic, soul-winning crusades, amen? And saturated the known world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, won people to Christ, personally winning people to the Lord, involved in church planting as well, planted a church in Ephesus and Philippi and those different areas. And through all of the trials and tribulations, the Apostle Paul determined in his heart that he was going to get to Rome, be obedient to the call of God upon his life. Now, that doesn't mean it didn't happen without some setbacks and some tribulation and some turmoil that he had experienced in his life. But praise God, the Apostle Paul wasn't a quitter. Notice here, he's in the midst of a storm. And it pictures, you know, our lives in many ways as we go through storms, we go through struggles, we go through setbacks, we go through some situations. I mean, America is in a storm right now, economically, morally, you see, spiritually. We've just are suffering some tremendous, tremendous tribulation in a storm. In the midst of a storm. If you're not in a storm, you're about to go into a storm. Amen? Or you're coming out of a storm. But that's what life is all about. And here we find this storm that they're in. And notice the Bible says in verse number 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they run the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And so they were going through this situation, going through this struggle, going, you know, battling, fighting the wind and the waves and all of that. And the Bible says here that the ship now had run aground and it was stuck. Many times as Christians, you know, we experience this type of turmoil in our own lives. Sometimes we get in a rut, amen? And we just seem like we're spinning our wheels and nothing's happening and we're not growing like we want to grow. Our ministry's not going forward like we would see it go. And we're just having all sorts of problems and things of that nature. That's what this passage of Scripture represents. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Every word, every verse in the Bible, in the Word of God, profitable, has a spiritual application that we can grasp and incorporate it into our lives. And as we do that, it is going to benefit, it is going to profit the child of God. And so the Bible says here, as they were going through these things, verse number 42, and the ship, you know, it ran up on there on a sandbar, and the waves and the storm was going on, and it just seemed like, you know, all hope was taken away that they should be saved. And the Bible says the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on broken boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Has turned its back on God. We can start churches. We can build bus routes. We can have a church that will reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can still have an impact upon society today. We can have revival. The Bible says here, even though they went through this struggle, went through this setback, went through this running this ship aground, the Bible says that they made it safe, and eventually the Apostle Paul made it to Rome and was able to minister and fulfill the will of God for his life. Every child of God ought to have that desire to fulfill God's will for your life. No greater joy than being in the direct center of God's will. But I want you to see some truths here in this passage of Scripture as we go through storms, as we look at our present situation in our country. America has run itself aground. Spiritually, socially, morally, spiritually. Who's with me? Say amen. But there's no reason to frown when you run your ship aground. There's no reason to panic. There's no reason to give up hope. There's no reason to quit on God. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Sometimes we have to go through detours for God to get our attention. Sometimes we have to have periods in our life that we're not producing the fruit that God wants us to manifest in our life. We're going to have setbacks. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to struggle in our marriages. We're going to struggle in our ministries. Are you with me? Say amen. We're going to go through storms. We're going to mess up from time to time. But mark it down. There's no reason to frown just because you've run your ship aground. There's no reason to give up hope. God has a plan for the church today. Even though America has turned its back on God, God's people can still make it safe. to land. Who's with me? Say amen. Now notice, we go through these things. What did the Apostle Paul say here in this passage of Scripture under the Spirit of God? When you go through setbacks, when you run your ship aground, when you're just spinning your wheels, when you're just stuck, who's with me? You ever been just stuck? I mean, just stuck in a rut. You're just not making the progress, maybe in your job or whatever it may be. And sometimes you let the devil get the upper hand. You fear and you're frustrated and you're fatigued. As I travel around the country today, I look at God's people and it just looks like they're wore out. They're tired. They're down. The battle is getting the best of them. But there's no reason to frown. Just because things aren't going the way you want them to go. Who's with me? Say amen. Now listen, we are in for some tough times. We are in for some great times of persecution. You think times are bad now? You wait till the storm. I mean, the tsunami of all tsunamis is about to hit this country. God's people need to be prepared. God's people need to be right with the Lord when these things happen. Who's with me? Say amen. What should I do when I go through this storm? What is my responsibility? If I'm going to make it safe to shore, if I'm going to make it through this trial, through this storm, through this setback, through this difficult time that our country is in today, what is it that I must do? Number one, keep your seat. Who's with me? Say amen. Keep your seat. What does the Bible say here as they were going through this storm? Verse number 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, the first thing that people want to do when they go through a situation, a trial, a tribulation, when they go through a struggle, they want to jump ship. They want to quit. They want to throw in the towel. They want to throw up their hands and say, "What's the use? Where is God in this situation?" Are you with me? Say amen. But notice the admonition from the Apostle Paul in verse number 31. Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Stay in that ship. Keep your seat. Stay in the house of God. If there's ever a time where God's people need to be faithful, it's today. Today's not the time to jump ship. Today's not the time to give up your seat in the house of God and leave that empty space and put the entire crew in jeopardy, shirking your responsibilities, your family. You're going to go through a storm in your marriage. But that doesn't mean you ought to jump ship on your wife or jump ship on your husband, jump ship on your children, jump ship on your marriage. Keep your seat. You're going to go through storms. You're going to have those difficult times of situation. So many Christians, so many people today, in just a short time that I've been in the ministry, have jumped ship on God. And if there's ever a time where Christianity needs some Christians that'll be faithful to God and serve God, it's today. But you know, people, they want to jump ship. They want to leave the church. They want to leave the church. They want to help. I'm not getting fed. I'm not being fed. I'm not getting fed. All they preach about is soul winning and separation. All they preach about is and serving God. I'm not getting fed. Well, hey, usually when someone comes up to me and says that to me, I say, listen, we don't feed dead sheep. We skin them. Who's with me? Say amen. It's not that you're not being fed. It's that you refuse to eat. It's you refuse to obey God and the man of God as he preaches the word of God. Who's with me? Say amen. God says, keep your seat. Don't jump ship on God. You're going through a storm. You're going through a struggle. Don't be a quitter. Look what the Apostle Paul said as they were going through this struggle. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, who I am, whom I serve. Hey, listen, there's safety in that ship. There's security in that ship. There's satisfaction in that ship. Staying faithful to the house of God. That's where God wants you to be. Every time the doors are open, we ought to be in church. Are you with me? Say amen. Whether it's a special meeting, a conference, a Bible, it doesn't matter if you're having a chicken killing. You ought to be in the house of God, being faithful, letting people see you there, letting God see you there, and letting people know you're behind the pastor, behind the word, faithful to God. What should I do in the midst of this struggle, in the midst of this storm? My ship has run aground. What should I do? Keep your seat. Who's with me? Keep your seat. Don't quit on God. The presence of God is there. And the power of God is there. The Apostle Paul said, "For I believe God." Be of good cheer. Don't allow yourself to develop a bad attitude about the ministry, about the marriage, about what God has allowed you to participate in here in this place. Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. How many families, how many homes today have experienced a shipwreck? Who's with me? Say amen. We need to keep our seat. Number two, notice what the Bible says there. Not only keep your seat, but number two, in the midst of this struggle, and as you run your ship aground, as you go through this struggle, not only keep your seat, but number two, eat your meat. What does the Bible say in verse 33? "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This is the 14th day that you have tarried, and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health." 14 days they went without eating anything. It's no wonder they were ready to jump ship. I go 14 minutes without food, I'm ready to jump ship. My ministry is expanding on a daily basis. I've got to wear flex pants. One size fits all. The Bible says there in verse number 35, "And when they had when he had spoken, they took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat." Oh, listen, you're going through a storm, a struggle, a situation, a setback. You've run your ship aground. Things aren't going the way you want them to go. You've lost your job. Keep your seat. Eat your meat. Amen. Who's with me? Say amen. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it if you don't determine in your heart to stay faithful. And that's in relation to the Word of God. The Bible is likened unto physical food. It's likened unto water. It's like an unto bread. It's like an unto milk. As newborn babes desire the sensual milk of the Word of God. And it's like an unto bread. It's like an unto meat. The Apostle Paul said, "I wanted to give you some meat, but you weren't able to bear it. You're still little bitty babies." And oh, listen, God's people today, if there's ever a time that we need to stay in the book, stay in the Bible, be faithful to the Word of God, it's today. Eat your meat on a daily basis. We ought to be feasting upon the precious words of Almighty God. Amen. Jesus said there in John chapter 4 and verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Amen. That was His meat. That was His desire. That was His hunger. That was His thirst. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsts for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Eat your meat. I used to hear my dad say that to us all the time. Eat your meat. Eat your meat. I like all kinds of meat. The only meat I don't like is liver. I'm not a liver lover. I can't bring myself to eat in a filter. Just thinking about that, I had to take a drink of water. Amen. But why is it Christian can't make it? Why do I struggle? Why can't they make it? Why do they lose their joy in the midst of that struggle? Why do they lose their joy in the midst of that struggle? Because they're not in the Bible. They're not in the Word of God. That's the number one issue any time that you have to deal with people. Ask them, well, have you been in the Bible? I mean, without fail, most people say, no, I'm discouraged, I'm down, I don't want to read the Bible. We've got to be diligent as Christians if we're going to make it in this society that we're living. This society that is so wicked and ungodly, that's run aground. And it's going to only get worse. Are you with me? Persecution. You think you got trouble now? I mean, it's going to come, neighbor. Persecution's going to come. And listen, the people that are faithful to church and faithful in their Bible, those are the people that will make it safe. Because God makes a way of escape for those people that are faithful. Are you with me? Say amen. Look what the Bible says in verse 36 or verse 37. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast the wheat into the sea. Point number three. Number one, keep your seat. Don't jump ship. Point number two, eat your meat. Stay in the Word of God. Point number three, chuck the wheat. Who's with me? Say amen. Chuck the wheat. Now see, they were sounding, you know, they had this certain type of sonar back then that they had that would let them know, you know, we were 20 fathoms, 15 fathoms. We're getting closer to shore, and you know, it's getting shallow. Now, if we're going to get into that place where we'd at least be able to swim, we got to lighten the ship. We got to lighten the load. We got to start chucking the wheat. Who's with me? Say amen. You know that verse of Scripture where the Bible says, wherefore, where compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. That's the problem with God's people today. In the midst of this storm, in the midst of this society that we're living, God's people are too rooted into the world. You're dug in too deep into the things of this world. Are you with me? I mean, listen, I mean, God's people ought to be able to just to cut it loose and be ready to go. Amen? But we got too many things weighing us down. Too many things just weighing us down. And oh, listen, if God's people today, if we're not diligent in getting rid of that sin, getting rid of that weight that just so easily beset us, I'm talking about hounding you, harassing you, haunting you on a daily basis, you've got to determine in your heart to take that weight and to take that sin and chuck it. Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me. Cast them. Chuck them. Cast them. Get them out of your life. They're hindering you from having the ministry that God wants you to have. That worry, that doubt, that fear, that pride. Chuck it. Amen. Get rid of that pride. That pride will be like a weight that when you're out there in the water and you're trying to get to shore, mark it down, neighbor, it doesn't matter how big of a board you grab, that sin's going to take you down. That pride is going to ruin your family, ruin your ministry, ruin your children. Take away any type of hope you have to make it safe to shore. Are you with me? Say amen. Chuck the wheat. Confront that sin. Confess that sin. Conquer that sin. God will give you the power to do it. They had to chuck that stuff. They had to get that stuff off the ship. Lighten up the load so they can get closer to shore. Give them a better opportunity to get where they need to be. God gives us grace. God gives us the power of God. But hey, mark it down. We have certain responsibilities in our life we need to take care of in order for God to bless us with that grace and to give us the power of God. We've got to be willing to get rid of the sin out of our life that's keeping us from having the victory that God wants you to have. And so we need to keep our seat. We need to eat our meat. We need to chuck the wheat. What does the Bible say? The Bible says they all made it safe. They crash landed on this island. And the Bible says the people that they met, they were barbarous people. But the Bible says there, as they come up out of that sea, I mean, they were wet, raining, tired, storm. They didn't have nothing but the clothes. What little clothes they had on their back. Come up out of there. What did they need? Did they need some more money to put in their bank account? Did they need another car? Did they need some food? Did they need some clothes? What did they need? Exactly what they got. They got a fire. Who's with me? Say amen. And if we're going to have an impact in this day and age, if we're going to reach this community, this country, in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this shipwreck, if we're going to make it, we've got to keep our seat, eat our meat, chuck the wheat, and stay close to the heat. Who's with me? Say amen. Stay on fire for God. God uses Christians that are set on fire. It was a fire that God used to get the attention of Moses as he was on the backside of the desert and he saw a bush on fire. That's kind of a freaky looking thing. And so he walked and the bush was on fire, but it wasn't burned up. And all of a sudden a voice come out of there. It was God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 28, our God is a consuming fire. Stay close to God. Stay close to the heat. Who's with me? Say amen. God's people today are so dead, lethargic, cold. We're not fired up about soul winning, fired up about bus ride, fired up about the things of God. Who's with me? Say amen. Yes, things have run aground. Yes, we're struggling. Yes, it's a storm. But hey, we can make it. We can have an impact if we just determine to stay close to that heat. There was that fire. And in the fire that Solomon prayed and the fire fell. Elijah prayed and the fire fell. The Christians in the upper room, as they prayed, there at Pentecost, the fire fell. And 3,000 souls were saved. 5,000 souls were saved. And as a result, we can stand here today and freely preach thus saith the Lord. Why? Somebody stayed close to the heat. There's no reason to frown just because things have run aground. Amen? The Bible said they all made it. Why? They kept their seat. They ate their meat. They chucked the wheat. They got close to the heat. I am burdened about Christianity today. Are you with me? I'm talking about God's people. Just don't respond to old-fashioned Bible preaching like they used to. We become comatose. You know what our prayer needs to be? The status quo must go. Who's with me? But we become content with the status quo. We come to church, we hear the message, we amen, amen, and then we leave and we're just the same old person. Same old person. Not going to make it with that attitude. I mean when the waves start beating and things start getting really tough, it's the Christian that's kept his seat. He's ate his meat. He chopped the wheat. He's ready to go at any moment's time. Amen? And he's right there, close to that heat, walking with God, having a relationship. Those are the people that'll make it. Those are the families that'll make it through the storm. In the trials, in the tribulations. Oh, listen, there's no reason to frown just because your marriage's running aground, your ministry's running aground, situations, you're just spinning your wheels. America in the situation. There's no reason to panic. God's got a plan. We just need to determine to do what God has called us to do. Exactly what I preach out of the Bible tonight. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness. I pray you take the message. Help us, dear God, to apply it to our lives. Help us, dear God. The storm's coming, Lord. I know we're going through some little bitty storms here and there in America today, but God, we know that things are going to start getting real bad. Things are going to get bad, Lord. Help us, dear God, to be obedient to these truths. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many say, God spoke to my heart. I need that message. Lift your hand up big and high all over the building. We give the altar call, you come. Father, you've seen the hands. Bless the invitation. And for it's your name we pray.